One of the things that God has been had laid on my heart last week was Psalm 9:10, and you don't have to turn there because we're gonna move from there. But Psalm 9:10 says, "And those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you have not forsaken, you've never forsaken those who seek you." And if there's not a great 3-point message in this, there's not a great 3-point message anywhere. Because I want you to notice that we who know your name, when Tap came to Jesus, when Tap gave his life to Christ, when you came to life with Christ, when you came to life through Christ, you began this ongoing, intimate, transformative relationship with Jesus by this one fact: you came to know him. You came to have a personal relationship with him where you can say, "I know this great God. I know who he is, and I know his name. And if I know his name, I know him. I know his character. I know who he is. I know what he does. I know his name." It's interesting, in Hebrew culture, when they named the child, they usually named him a little bit later so that they can kind of see what kind of characteristics he had, right? And the name became something more than just the name. It became about the very essence of that person. And we know that because that's who God is. We know that that's because that's how Jesus was named himself. And the question we ask today is, in the midst of all the things that are going on and all the things that people are struggling with, is, do we know the name of God? And in knowing the name of God, we know him personally. We know him personally. Because let's grant it, there's lots of names that we know that we really don't know them, right? I mean, there's people that I can know even about, know their name, know what they do, know their philosophy, just look at their Facebook page and know a whole lot about what they believe, right? But never, ever know them. For instance, I can know a whole lot about a famous person in the world, famous person in the state. I can know all there is to know about the governor, say, but never ever meet him and know him. And I want to tell you, there's a lot of people in this life who know a whole lot about God and know a whole lot about Jesus, but they do not know him. Do you know this great God? Do you know his name? Let me tell you what. Let me just show you a couple of things about knowing the name of God. First off, go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is a word to Joseph, who had just found out that his betrothed was pregnant with child. And the Bible says that Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, verse 20, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She'll bear a son," and this is what you're going to do. "You're going to call his name Jesus, because he will save or deliver his people from their sins." The word Jesus in Hebrew is Yeshua, okay? And it's the same Hebrew word for Joshua, so to speak, okay? So Joshua, the deliverer, okay? The one who comes to set free, the one who comes to save. You will name his name Yeshua. You will name it Jesus, because this is what he's going to do. He's going to save us from our sins. And that's why when we come to know him, we know him as Jesus, our Savior, right? We know him as Jesus, our deliverer, although lots of times we don't hear the delivering piece. Just, he saves us from our sins. So I'm going to tell you this. He delivers you from sin and its power. Amen. And we know, when we know the name, we know the one who has that name. because he has saved us. He has delivered us when we put our trust in him for salvation by the blood that he shed and the body that was broken that he bore the sin on. When I believe that he did that for me, I come to believe in and to begin to know the name Jesus, Savior, Deliverer. And then he'll go on and he'll say, now this all took place, verse 22, to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, shall bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his dream, and he did as the angel Lord commanded him, took Mary as his wife, kept her a virgin until she gave birth to the son, and he called his name Jesus. Jesus. Two of the greatest promises in all the world, that someone would come, this great God would come and be with us and then save us and be with us. No other God can promise that. No other God that we can name in this life has promised to come and be with us and deliver us. And it's an ongoing thing. It's an ongoing process of knowing this great God. You see, it's not just saying I'm a Christian. No, I'm a Christ follower because I know him. And could you say beyond a shadow of a doubt this morning that you know the name Yeshua or Jesus? Do you know the name Emmanuel? Have you ever even thought about this great God being with you forever, always? And to be conscious of that, no matter what's happening, no matter what's taking place, to be conscious, to be so conscious of it that it just changes our lives. Last spring, we did a series on the Lord's Prayer. And the very first part of the Lord's Prayer is, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And we move through the names of this great God, the Old Testament God, from the Old Testament perspective. And I just want to remind you of some things. And I'm sorry this is not in your notes. This is something that's been changed. And it was changed enough that I could get to Greg to put it into the computer. But I want you to think with me, and I just want to share you. Maybe you've heard this, maybe you've not, but God declared himself, his name as Yahweh, Jehovah, Yahweh, the self-existing one, the great I am, who has no beginning, no end, who's always. This great God chose to give himself this name, Yahweh or Jehovah. In the Old Testament, there's these compound names. And so I want to just share real briefly four of them with you. The first one is Yahweh Jireh, I am your provider. Okay. Yahweh Jireh, I am provision. I will provide what you need spiritually, physically, emotionally, financially. I will do this for you because that's who I am. And it's real interesting to me because it's like this is the promise of Jesus, right? This is the promise of what he's come to do. You can look in Romans chapter 8 and talks about, listen, he didn't spare his only son for us. How much more will he give you everything you need in Christ? If he didn't spare the best, he'll give you the rest. And this is the great promise of Jehovah or Yahweh provider. And the question is, do I know his name? Do I know the name Yahweh Jireh? And I'm not talking about money, because money's not the most important thing in life. That's right. Is that right? It's not. I'm talking about providing a way to have this great relationship that with Christ, with God, that has been testified today. And that's been testified on this platform over and over and over. I am your provider, Yahweh Jireh. I'll give you whatever you need to live a godly, holy life. I'll give you whatever you need to provide for you, the things that you need in this life. I will do that. I will do that for you, because if I gave you Jesus, the most important, I'll give you. I'm the good father who knows how to give good gifts to his children. And what I want to do is give good things to you, and I want to give the Spirit of God to you. He's Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Do you know that name today? Do you know Jesus, Savior, Emmanuel, God with us? Those who know his name put his trust in him. So therefore, if I put my trust in him, I'm going to trust him for the salvation, and I'm going to trust him for the provision of God. And what does that do? That drives out the worry, the anxiety, the stress, all those things that come our way when we're struggling financially or when we're struggling with just what we need in this life, with anything. Do you know the name? Do you know the name of God? Because I'll trust him in the midst of that struggle. The second one is Yahweh Rapha. I am your healer. Now, Jesus is also known as the great physician. Scripture says he's your healer. And he just doesn't heal the soul or the mind or the heart. He comes to heal the strength. He comes to do that. I mean, it's just written in this. It's just written in his name. I am your healer. Those who know him as healer, put their trust in him. So that if I have some kind of terminal diagnosis, then I can trust this great God. I can put my trust in his name. I can put my trust in who he is as the great physician. Then there's Yahweh Shalom, I'm your peace. Jesus is known as the Prince of Peace. In Isaiah chapter 9, the Prince of Peace, I am your peace. I made peace, Jesus made peace with God in you, brought you and I, him together, and gave you a peace that surpasses all understanding. Now, there's too many of us that we just live so often in chaos in our mind and our heart about all the things that go on in our lives. And we bring it to our marriages, and we bring it to our kids, and we bring it to other people, the chaos. And a part of that is that worry, part of that is that anxiety, part of that is that stress. But those who know his name put their trust in him. That's what they do. If you're in a place of chaos, if you are in a place of just upheaval, if you're in a place that there is just no peace, my Bible says we who know his name, that we trust in him and will never, ever be forsaken. This is the promise of God, folks. That God comes to give peace, and we can move through this. I mean, we could take a whole sermon on these things. But I am asking God today that you would come to know the name of Christ. And as you know the name of Christ, you trust him. And then when you trust him for salvation and you trust him for life, so that whatever's going on, what happens is I'm gonna move from this knowing his name. I'm going to always know it. I'm going to trust him. And then I'm going to just seek him. I'm going to seek him. There's a fourth name, it's Yahweh Shammah. It's I am present, or I am there, or I am here. Let me tell you, there's so many of us that go through our week that we need to hear these names. I mean, provision, health, right? Chaos, no peace. And here's one of the greatest gifts of all, the presence of our great God. I am present. I am present. To hear him say this, to know the name of Shammah. And so the question is do you know the name Shammah? Do you know the name Shalom? Do you know the name Jesus? Do you know the name Emmanuel? Do you know the name? Experientially in your life where this great relationship with him is taking place. Here's the thought. The thought is that you got to trust him. I mean, that's the bottom line. Is that, will I trust God, trust his word, and not look for another word to trust, but to trust him and then to look at all the other stuff through the lens of trusting God first. Those who know the name put their trust in him. They believe him. They lean on him. They lean into him. Even when things are just going south, even when things just seem to be falling apart, I could trust this great God. Why? Because I believe in him and I believe on him and I can rest on him. And I did that for salvation, where the Bible talks about being saved, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, right? That we're saved by grace through faith and not of ourselves. This great God who we believe and we trust in. For our salvation and for the rest. For the rest of the rest of life. Do you know his name? Are you trusting him? And then the third thing about this passage of scripture is, are you seeking him? Are you seeking him? Now there's some things that I want to say about this because I think it's really, really important. Seeking is about getting your eyes off the stuff and putting your eyes on him first. Right. So one of the thoughts that I would say to you is just talking to someone who was just really struggling with some things that had happened in the past. And just, I mean, talking 7-8 years ago. He's struggling. And he's just wanting to know the truth about it all. And somehow, just in that moment, I said, brother, you're looking for the wrong truth. You're looking for the wrong truth. The Bible says that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus is the truth. John chapter 17. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And I'm sitting here, I'm talking to him about that situation, and all of a sudden, it's coming back at me. I mean, what's the one thing that we've been asking this whole pandemic? We just want to know the truth. We're looking for the truth, and we're looking for it, and I'm just saying, we've got our eyes on the wrong truth. That the truth is Jesus and the truth is his word. And so how do we do that? How do we look for the truth of Christ to come and to minister to us in all these things that we're dealing with these days? How do we do that? We seek him. We seek him, the truth, above all these other truths. Because I want to just tell you something. God doesn't need you and he doesn't need me to reveal the truth. God could do this in a heartbeat. Amen. Amen. And I just want to say God is more interested in sharing truth, Jesus, and truth word to you so that you're lining up under that truth and not somebody else's truth or somebody else's word, which is usually the enemy's word. It's the truth. We're going to be talking a whole lot of that when we talk about the belt of truth in September. But I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 3, and we'll probably finish with this. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, because I just believe we need this verse and this passage of Scripture in a very powerful way. And I want you to just to see what Paul says. Now Paul lives, actually, Paul's writing this from prison in Rome. And he's under house arrest, but he's always chained, listen to me, always chained to a Praetorian guard, okay? And he's house arrest, but there's always someone chained with him. And he's writing this letter in the midst of horrible, horrible church persecution and horrible, horrible governmental overreach. I want to talk about governmental overreach. I want to tell you, you don't know anything about governmental overreach until you know what's going on in the first century, and then you're going over to places like China and other places. You want to talk about overreach. And all the things that are going on, I'm just telling you, I believe it's all my heart, is a distraction from Jesus being first where I'm seeking him first and I'm loving him most. Seeking first, loving most. See those who know his name put their trust in him, and God never forsakes those who seek him. So what does that look like? Well, this is what Paul says. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, it's the baptism motif. It's the baptism picture, metaphor, buried with Christ, raised to walk in newness of life with him. You have been raised up with Christ. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 that he raised us up and he seated us with him in the heavenlies. Wow. Can you imagine having that kind of life-altering conversation, consciousness with God that says, I have been raised up with Christ in the heavenlies? And this is what he's saying. He said, listen, what I'm asking you to do, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on the things on the earth. For you've died, your life's hidden with Christ, and when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you'll be revealed with him in glory. You know, I look at this passage of Scripture, it says, set your mind on things above, not on the things of earth. But I don't know about you, but me, this is Fritcher here, this is Fritcher talking to Fritcher self right now. It's that I look back over some weeks and I think, I have set my mind on things below and give a glance above. But what if we made a commitment to set our hearts on the things above, glancing at the things below, and letting God interpret it, and let God speak through what's happening below in your life, individually, corporately, in your marriage, with your family, your children, that I'm setting my mind on the things that are above and not on the earth. Is that easy? No, that is hard. Matter of fact, it's impossible without him. But let's just be fair with the confession. We have a propensity to set our mind on things below as opposed to the things above. And when I think about that, I think of three things. Number one, if I set my mind on things above where Christ is seated, what is Christ doing? Watch this. He's ruling and reigning in the hearts of men. He's still in control. He's still Lord. He's not surprised. He's ruling and he's reigning. He's putting things into place that we think, we just want to say, stop it. Matter of fact, be careful what you say to God to stop. Okay? Be very careful. Is he Lord today? Is he sovereign God? Amen. I'm going to set my mind on the things above where Christ is seated. He's at the right hand of the Father. And what he's doing is he's ruling and reigning. And whether or not you think it, when you think that it's all falling apart and it's all going to hell in a handbasket, I'm going to tell you, he's in control. This is who we believe. This is who we know. This is who we seek. Let me tell you a second thing he's doing. He's ruling and reigning, and he's making a new footstool of his enemies. A footstool, okay? It has an allusion to the very first prophetic word that Jesus was going to come when he said to the woman, the seed of the woman is going to come. He's going to come, crush your head. He's making the head of the enemy a footstool. Amen. He's ruling and he's reigning and he's bringing victory. And the question is, if I'm going to get my mind off the things below and on the things above, the minute I begin to do that and I keep my mind set, I get to walk in the victory because I'm walking under the authority of who Jesus is in the heavenlies. Set your mind on things above where Christ is seated. What is he doing? He's ruling and reigning and he's making his enemies a footstool. And I'm not just talking about the devil. I'm talking about every part of it. I'm talking about the sin and the sinfulness and the flesh and the strongholds of sin and the principalities that are in the air. That's what he's doing. That's what he's doing. But there's a third thing he's doing. And we read it in Romans chapter 8. He's interceding for us. We always talk about the Holy Spirit who intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. But Paul goes on to say, he's at the right hand of the Father praying for you and me. Amen. And just like we prayed in elders, we said, oh God, would you answer the prayers of your son? And I just want to suggest you and get to John chapter 17. I quoted verse 17. Get to that passage of scripture and read through that and just see how Jesus prayed for you and me. And start with that. To set my mind on things above and not on the things of the earth. To look at the things that are eternal, not the things that are temporal. And just like we talked about a couple weeks ago, when Israel was facing the horde, the enemy coming, and they stood before God and said, Lord, we are so powerless for this great army coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Those who know his name, seek him. I know his name, trust in him. And God has never forsaken those who seek him. Watch this. Never forsaken those who have put their mind and their eyes and their hearts above. I want you to bow with me in prayer. I think one of the greatest things you can ask yourself is, what kind of thinking have I been thinking? The stuff that's going through my mind that I'm mulling over, that's making me mad, making me sad, making me angry, making me whatever it is, what is it that I'm just continually focusing on in my mind? And I'm just going to tell you, it's not the things above, because if you're thinking about the things above and putting on, you're not going to have anger. You're not going to walk in fear, worry, anxiety, and stress. But you're going to set your mind on the things above, where Christ is seated. When I think about him ruling and reigning, when I think about making a footstool of the enemy and interceding for us, what do you think he's interceding for? He's interceding for the things above, with the relationship that he has with God himself. It's what he's wanting to bring his bride into. It's what he's wanting to bring his body into, you and me. This great relationship with him, where we're doing the ministry, where we're exercising our gifts, where we're making an impact because we're the hands and the feet, the eyes, the ears of Jesus himself, the head. And yet, we can go through a week and just waste our week on all the things we thought of and thought on that are not godly, that are not right, that are not pure, that are not holy. And I'm asking you, church, to place your mind on the things that are above. We sang this last week, turn your eyes on Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim, right? They'll grow strangely dim, and we'll walk with him and talk with him and be blessed by him and be filled by him. That's the promise of God. Do you know the name? Do you know Jesus? Today, if you're here today and you say, I don't think I can say I know him, I know about him, but I don't know him. I don't have this personal relationship with him that you're talking about. I want to talk to you. I want to visit with you. Please see me. You've got my phone number on the fold. Staff wants to see you. Somebody wants to visit with you. If you're here today and you think you've done so too much that you can never be forgiven, and you got a friend like that, well, just show the testimony today. Because this God saves and delivers and is with us and heals and gives us peace. This is our great God. Let's follow him this week. Let's set our eyes on things above.